Spence, thank you. Okay, well, Lord, just thank you for this Palm Sunday. Thank you for what you are going to release today, continue to release. We are so hungry for more of you, so grateful. You are an amazing Papa, and we just want to pull in close to you and open our hearts to hear from you through the Word, hear what you're saying, hear what you were doing, and just run with you in deeper places and ways. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing that we have the privilege of partnering with. Thank you, Lord. You're so faithful. You're so good. We love you, Jesus. Use me, Lord. Use me wisely. Let my words be wise. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay. Can you guys please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 12? And I've got a few things that you lovely people in the back can help me with. So John chapter 12 is going to be our key passage. And there's just a couple more that I can tell as we go along. But if you want to track with me at all up front here, then that's great. If you have your Bible, that would be even better for you, so you can remember on your own device or connect that way. So praise God. Okay. I want to read something to you. This is out of a study Bible that I have at home. I don't have here. It's my big brick. It's a King James study Bible, and I just love this, and I wrote it out because so many times we're looking for the approval of man. We're looking for just what man thinks, and we call it fear of man. We call it whatever we want, and I just want to read something to you. If you take a look at John 12, verse 43, it says, "For they love the approval of men rather than the approval of God." Okay, let me read it again. "For they love the approval of men rather than the approval of God." And it was basically talking about the Pharisees and talking about people who were pushing Jesus away, people who were just couldn't wrap their arms around what he was doing, what he was saying, what he was thinking, what he was offering. And there were reasons for it. We call it, in our modern day culture, we call it fear of man. And so let me just read to you something. Just let it sink in. I wrote it out really late last night. It says, "What is the secret of gaining victory over the fear of others and the desire for their approval or their praise?" And it's like, wait a minute. We can say, hey, I'm not going to fear anybody. I'm going to say it like it is. They're just going to know where I stand. You know, I'm not talking about that, where you're stepping back going, I can't talk to anyone. Not that. I'm talking about really having apprehension, you know, with other people around or other situations around where you just don't have or feel that confidence inside to be able to say, you know, Jesus is Lord. He's Lord in my life. And I don't want to, you know, come across in any way that's inappropriate, but I sure love Jesus. That heart, not those words necessarily, but that heart. And so here's what I wrote. It says, "What is the secret of gaining victory over the fear of others and the desire for their approval? It is our faith, 1 John 5:4, the faith that sees God, Christ, heaven, hell, the judgment, and eternity as ultimate realities." And it gives many scriptures for that. "Professing to follow Christ while loving human glory above the glory of God is blatant hypocrisy." It's like, that hit me between the eyes last night. "Professing to follow Christ while loving human accolation or glory above the glory of God is blatant hypocrisy. Many sacrifice their faith and conviction and act contrary to their consciences." Because the scripture reads, "For they love the approval of man more than the approval of God." Many sacrificed faith and conviction and act contrary to their consciences. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but I wanted to start with that because as we approach and go through this Passion Week, we go through Holy Week, oh my gosh, this is the time that the Lord says, I am going to wake you, open your eyes, do all the things that you've been asking for, everything, you know, to get rid of the tension inside. So many times when our soul is not at rest, something's going on in our mind, our will is kind of like, and our emotions are up and down or skyrocketing, and it's like, I don't even know why, I just feel something's not right. The Lord wants us to take a look at what really is going on so that we don't end up coming up with an explanation that is really not what the Lord says. Because if we do, we fall into the same trap as anybody else who would not be able to believe. God wants us to believe. He wants us to believe his word. So Lord, this morning, I thank you for a level of belief that you're releasing today through your word to help us embrace what you were trying to do, what you were trying to set up for us to be able to wrap our arms around, so that this would be not just a week of celebration and praise, but this would be a week of encounter in the midst of all the questions, all the struggles that we're having on the inside perhaps, that this would be a week where you start to unpack and unfold the real answers and the real solutions, because they're found in you, not in our mind, not in our emotions, and certainly not with our will. Although you use these areas, Father, so that we can express back to you and express who you are to others. Help us, Jesus. Amen. So if we look at John chapter 12, we're going to run through this. It's a long chapter, and I want to see how much we can get through today. I want to get my trusty phone here, check and see where we are with this time. But if you open your Bibles and track with me right in the very beginning to verse 1, where it says, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So it's 6 days before the Passover, and the Passover was going to be the following Friday. So that tells us that's on Saturday, right? He came to this place, Bethany, where Lazarus had been raised from the dead. So it's kind of like having a party for Lazarus and everybody. It's like, okay, this guy's raised from the dead. Let's celebrate this. We're on our way to Jerusalem. Jesus knew what was coming. Nobody else really did, understood the fullness of it. But they stopped in Bethany. It's a trusted place, a place where people are feeling good about each other. They like each other. I mean, wouldn't you? You were raised from the dead. And Mary and Martha are there. And there's a celebration on Jesus' way. So Lazarus has already died and been raised. So there's a great miracle there. There's a miracle that is so profound that it just shook everybody in the area. And a lot of people came out to meet the one when Jesus entered in on the donkey in Jerusalem, to meet the one that could raise people from the dead. So this was something that had spread everywhere. And not only were the scribes, Pharisees, they were really threatened by this, but anybody else who couldn't see it, they couldn't wrap their arms around it. It's like, wait a minute here. The attention should be on the law. The attention should be on me. The attention should be elsewhere than Jesus. And Jesus knew that. I mean, he's so smart that he raised Lazarus from the dead at just the right time. And he was in the tomb for a while, right? And then he went, and then he raised, and then he came out. And the grave clothes came off. And that's a whole other message, and we're not going to go into that right now. But suffice it to say that that was extremely important to Jesus in the timeline. We're going to go through a timeline also on Tuesday, a little bit more, so we get into depth a little bit more on Tuesday regarding this whole Passion Week. So I'm exhorting you through this today to just keep reading the scriptures and just devour John chapter 12 over and over and over, and keep going if you can. And you'll see a tracking for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday. And that's what we want to do, so we can pull it together, because Jesus wants us to have the connection. He doesn't want us to be fragmented. He doesn't want us to be kind of split apart. Same for family, same for churches, same for understanding of him, you know? Same for businesses, same for any place that he has released to us, that he wants his heart, his stamp, his love in fullness, which is really everywhere. So he's helping us understand through John chapter 12. So they made him a supper there. Okay, we've got Nasby, that's good. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving. Good deal, Martha, you're serving. And Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. I think I'd be pretty happy, wouldn't you, if you're reclining at the table instead of laying down in the tomb, so praise God for that. And then verse 3, these are familiar passages for most of us in here, honestly. But let's look at them in context with the rest of the chapter. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" And that's that 300 denarii is worth about 11 months of wages. I mean, think about that. And this guy was a thief, all right? And Mary is representing the one who's got it, who's understanding, oh my gosh, I'm in the presence of the king, and I have been forgiven of so much, and I know who he is, and what can I do other than waste everything about myself on him? And so that extreme is shown immediately, okay? The extreme in verse 1 is Lazarus is alive. He's not dead. The next verse, another big extreme. Michelle, this is for you. This is for Jacob and Joe. And she knows what I mean by that. But it's very extreme right here. This whole chapter is extreme. You will see. You will see opposites. You will see, well, there's black, there's white. There's darkness, there's light. There's good, there's bad. You're going to see it clearly. And it's going to tie together. Because if you want to be part of rescuing, being rescued first and then rescuing others out of darkness, we have to see with the eyes of Jesus so we don't get caught in the middle. There is no middle ground when it comes to the heavens and it comes to those that are under the heavens in the dark places. There's no middle ground there. It's either Jesus or it's not. There's not almost Jesus. It's either Jesus or not. And that was the extreme position that Jesus is and has and took. So he wants us to see that so that we can help. And the enemy likes to muddle, come right in between so it looks murky and confusing. There's no confusion in Jesus. No confusion. The Lord always has a way of escape. So if we think about that, we can look at these chapters or these verses as well. So when she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. This is the fragrance that God wants us to have, to see, to be filled with as we go through Passion Week, as we culminate on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, as we understand the bigger picture, as we say, Jesus, show me the bigger picture. Okay, this morning when I was getting ready, I had this just feeling of sickness in my heart, hurt, sickness, like, oh, it's like, oh, Jesus, I know that you want me to preach today. I have to see the bigger picture. And it wasn't about you. But I had to see the bigger picture. What are you doing? What are you saying? What's going on here? So that I could navigate. And that's what Jesus was trying to do by reclining with Lazarus at the table. Martha still serving, but Mary realizing what was really needed. And what does Jesus really applaud and laud? What does he say? Who's going to be remembered every time the gospel is preached around the world? Where is there going to be acclaim? It's going to be Mary. It's going to be, if you want to come into my presence, if you want my holy life to overtake you, if you want me above all else, if you want to be enjoyed by me in the fullness where you are enjoying me, that you feel that joy and that peace, then this is the lifestyle. This is the one. She's not perfect. She has sinned. She's been forgiven. But this is where you want to go. This is where you want to be. This is how you want to end up, where you'll pour everything out to the one who's worthy. Everything. It's like, I don't know how to do that. I know. And there's the tug of war, right? It goes on and on and on. But think about that this week. So Judas Iscariot was going to betray Jesus shortly after this, as you know. But he's a thief, so he cannot see what's going on. He's blinded. So he looks at things naturally, and he's not concerned about the poor, verse 6. He's just concerned about the money, and he's concerned with what's going on, and he can't. He has to say something that's negative, and he has to look at this and go, if you're going to do something, I could have sold this. Do you know what we could have done with this money? And Jesus said, you're missing it. What I'm saying is, this is what matters. It's more important than 11 months of wages. Wow. Wow. See the bigger picture. What are you saying? What are you doing? Well, I don't know how to navigate through this. I know. But look at the bigger picture, and I'll show you how, because I'm the solution. And Judas Iscariot never got that. So Jesus interrupts, and he says in verse 7, let her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. If you look quickly at Matthew 26:13, just kind of flip over there. Let's see if I can find that quickly. Matthew 26:13 says, it's another example of another version describing the same event. It says, "Truly I say to you," now this is Jesus saying it, who's saying, "Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." Can you imagine being in heaven and knowing that that's in the Bible? How cool is that? "Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." Okay, does that mean that if I'm standing up giving the gospel, or you are, that I have to say, "Well, remember that passage and quote it"? No. But it's the idea of complete, total sacrifice and laying down for the one who's laid himself down for us. That's the life of the believer. That's the place where we say, "I don't want any idols in front of you. I want you to be my lover. I want you to be my hope. I want you to be everything." And it's not that I can't love and enjoy people or places or things. No, that's the abundant life. But wherever anything would overstep or overtake or become idolic in any way, the Lord says, that's not me. This is you. It's like, okay. All right, back to John 12. Verse 9, "The large crowd of the Jews then learned that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead." So here's this large crowd, and they heard he was there, and not just for Jesus, but Lazarus. They want to see the miracle, right? They want to see the demonstration of this guy who's alive, who was dead, and they heard about it. They want to see it, and it does something to people on the inside. It either makes you really mad, or become indifferent, where it's like, whatever. Or it's like, oh my gosh, what is that? Who is that? Who did that? Okay? And what Jesus wants, obviously, is for us to respond and say, "Wow, look at you." But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also. So there's another extreme right there, verse 9 and 10. The chief priests planned. So Lazarus gets to go through it again. So now Lazarus gets to be put to the test. Because Lazarus, can you imagine him being quiet after he was raised from the dead? No. And he knows that Jesus is going to be going into Jerusalem. Jesus has made it known. He knows that Jesus is on his way. He knows that Jesus is making himself known. He knows that Jesus is who he is. He raised him from the dead. So that really touched his heart. That touched his life so that he could understand more and more about why he was alive. Why did Jesus do that? And why is he there? These are the questions Jesus says, ask me when you're reading the scripture. Why? Why? Why is it so important? Now think about it. There's got to be a reason. What does it have to do with my little life? And Jesus hadn't even died and hadn't been raised from the dead yet at all. So, oh my goodness, this is so important before Jesus actually rides on a colt. So important to say, wait a minute, I'm putting it all together. Remember what I said a few minutes ago, always asking the Lord, what's the bigger picture? I wouldn't have been okay to preach this message this morning if I could not center myself in the presence of the Lord, because it was so strong. It was so ready to push me over where I wanted to lay down on the floor in my kitchen and say, I can't do this. That's how strong it was. And I recognized that. So I said, okay, Jesus, what is happening here? What is going on in the spirit? What's the bigger picture? Why is this happening? What's going on? Jesus, I want to know what you say. You are a God of togetherness. You're not a God of division. You're a God of hope. The only thing that you will see in terms of dividing will be between the sheep and the goats. And I want to be used, God, to be someone who's a repairer of the breach. You know, if you are a repairer of the breach and we are together, which has been spoken of over us, prophesied over us, and it's in the scripture, we want to grab onto it in Isaiah 58. I mean, Ben just dumped that over us, and other people have too. The Lord says, I am the repairer of the breach. Be like Mary. Understand why Mary, as I was saying, could do what she did in the first and second verses and third verses. Those first three verses in John 12. And then you will step into, your shoulders will broaden. Who you are will raise up as a repairer of the breach like Jesus. And that's a healer. That's an inclusive person. And the enemy does anything to divide. anything to wreak havoc, anything to bring confusion, anything to bring hurt, anything to bring pain. That's his job, right? So when we recognize that, remembering what I said at the very beginning about any kind of fear or a desire for approval of man over approval of God, there's going to be a tension in the spirit, and the enemy's going to try to push you or me. He tried to push Mary, I'm sure, and Martha, I'm sure. And definitely the enemy was working in Judas, setting him up for what was going to come, for sure. Working in Lazarus. Lazarus, a real person who had been dead and was raised from the dead. You imagine he's kind of more leaning towards, no matter what it takes, Jesus, I'm okay? I think so. He'd been through a lot, and he saw the bigger picture. And he said, the bigger picture, you, Jesus, you coming in, you dying, you raising from the dead. That's what I want. That's who I want to be. That's the bigger picture. Everything else needs to flow out of that so that we will preach Christ crucified, which involves the resurrection. That's what Paul said. He said, I just want to be known for that. I want my life to be laid down. I don't want disrespect. I don't want dishonor. I don't want disunity. I don't want to diss Jesus in any way. I want to be all inclusive, but it better be on Jesus' terms and not ours. And that's what he was trying to set up in John chapter 12, to show us. And if we think like this, if we believe, let me put it this way, if we believe the word of the scripture, if we are believing and receiving, then blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and Jesus saves. Hosanna shall resonate through our heart when we leave here, throughout the rest of the week. We will do anything to move towards the being the repairer of the breach in any way, because you can be sure the enemy's trying to stop that. And he is, and he has been, but he can't, because Jesus reigns and Jesus rules. This is not a time, this season, to go hide in your hole somewhere because it's tense. No, this is the time to understand the King and say, Jesus, I receive. I am open. I'm getting this. You did this for me. Stir me up, Jesus. I want this to be the best Passion Week filled with passion I've ever had in my life. That this is the life that I'm destined to live. This is who I am. It is not about, should I go on a mission trip? It's not about, should I take this job? It's not about, what should I do with my kids? Even though these are all very important decisions. I get that. This is, take it bigger. Take it larger. Go larger. Jesus, what are you saying right now? Because you are the solution and you'll make it work. And Jesus was setting us up through all these characters, and he's not even on the donkey yet. And it's in the same scripture. It's in the same passage. Jesus is saying, pay attention. There's a reason you're hearing about Lazarus. There's a reason you're hearing about Judas. There's a reason you're hearing about Mary and Martha. Okay? There's a reason that Jacob was born at 2:22. Jesus is very serious right now about all things, and he's saying, I am going to train your arms to battle for war, because I don't want you to lose the kiss me with the kisses of your lips. And I want others to walk in that too, from Song of Songs. It's one of the reasons the Lord's opening this up to us in this season. He's saying, this is where I'm going. This is what's going to become so strong in your heart that you'll be able to see with that kind of vision. If you're able to. If you can't, I get that. I mean, we got stuff going on. We got family things. I get that. But if you're able to, jump in. If you can't, that's all right. It's really okay. So this is not a pull for you to get in holy clubs. If you can't do it, you can't do it. But if you want to, just know the heart behind it. This is the desire in this season, is to become more like Mary. That's honestly the truth. And I believe God has, you know, given us at least choices and opportunities for that. If you can, let us know. If you can't, that's okay. Okay, so verse 9. The large crowd of the Jews then learned that he was there, and they might not for Jesus' sake only, which I just read, but they might also for Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. Verse 10, but the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also. I'm reading it again, big star. Because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. Oh, such a problem. But think of the extreme. On account of him. On account of who? So because something supernatural was going on inside of Lazarus, to Lazarus, that he had that kind of connection, that kind of following happened. Maybe it was only one person. Maybe it was only two. But in that season, probably not a whole many more people, because it says that there was a crowd that was gathering. So Jesus used that also to draw them in so that they could move from, oh my gosh, the king's coming in to save us from the Romans, to maybe it's Jesus. Most of them had the wrong idea. But Jesus is saying, I'll help them believe. I'll help them see. And the very people, as you all know, the very people, again an extreme, who lauded Jesus and said, oh, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. All those people, many of those people, were the ones going, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Why? Because the devourer was able to get in so that they wouldn't believe. They wouldn't remain in that moment. The Lord had set them up to say yes and amen. And that would have been the best for them. Because Jesus knew he was going to be crucified. Jesus knew he'd die. He knew he'd raise. He knew that was happening. That was coming. But he was saying, oh, I'm weeping for you, O Jerusalem. I'm weeping because I want you to get this. I want you to see who I am and go deeper. Okay, continue on. I love this. We could do a whole something with this more than another year. Verse 12, on the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, the large crowd who had come to this feast are available at this point. When they heard that Jesus was coming, they took the branches of the palm trees and they went out to meet him. And they began to shout, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. Now, we're going to take a look at two scriptures here really quickly. So if you can, Tiana, if you don't mind, if you could put up Psalm 118, we're going to look at 24, 25, and 26. And when we look at these prophecies, we're just going to glance at them. Ask the Lord, what's the bigger picture? Why am I caring about this? Oh, it's really cool that they're quoting in the New Testament what happened in the Old Testament. I get that. But why? Why do I need to see that? Why do I need to understand that that's important? Why is that? And it's all throughout the entire chapter. You're going to see it all the way through. So just turn in your Bibles and glance at that if you can. Psalm 118, 24 through 26. You have it up there? Okay, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save. We beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you. Do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. Next one. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horn of the altar. One more. You are my God, and I give thanks to you. You are my God, I extol you. Okay, let's back it up. Take those first five verses, look at them again. You are my God. Whoops. Sorry. If you can back those up. This is the first one. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we all sing this song, don't we, when we're little kids? Right? This is the day that the Lord has made. Did we ever understand that it's in here for a reason? It's in here to signify that Jesus came into Jerusalem on this day. This day is very, very significant because it involves something. It involves something that is so tangible for us to see as a place in the Spirit where Jesus not only is saying, hey, remember, that's really me, that's really me, that's really me. He's saying, this is the day that you need to be glad in. This is the day that I have made. It's significant. And I can show you, and we really don't have time to unpack it, but I can show you also in Scripture that the Lord's date of arrival and also his death is prophesied and what's going to happen. And the Lord says, well, you know, when you're talking to people, you could say, well, here are the prophecies. What do you think about that? If they don't want to believe, they're not going to believe. But if you can help them see our God, who is so insightful, so majestic, so amazing, who is saying to us, this is my son in whom I am well pleased, and I'm going to tell you hundreds of years before, and you're going to have that so impacting your heart that your faith is going to rise so that you can believe like Mary instead of Martha. You'll be able to receive like Lazarus instead of Judas. You're going to be able to walk in the fullness of what that extreme living for me looks like. And so Jesus was setting them up. So these people who, with this large crowd of people, were saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But prior to that, rejoice in this day. Rejoice in the Lord. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's amazing. There's another scripture, actually. Let's put up Daniel 9, 25 and 26. Now, we're not going to unpack that fully because I just don't have the time for it. But you can look into it. Daniel 9, 25 and 26. Just want to put this up here. Because when you search it out, and it's very fun to do, to try to figure out the weeks and the days and the times of when Jesus came and when he died and when he's coming again. But if we understand that this was not only part of the plan intellectually, but it's part of the plan spiritually inside, it's going to resonate in us that everything we do, every time we play soccer, every time that we work on a project at home, every time we're doing something outside, every time we're working with our families, whatever we're thinking about, if we have these kind of scriptures in our hearts churning around and then balancing in John chapter 12, I'm telling you, the Lord's going to say, this is what's really going on. I really want you to see this. I know you really love me. I know you really love people, but I need you to see the bigger picture so that you can navigate properly and you can see that I am turning you into more of a Mary. If you will listen with your spiritual ears, I'm going to show you I am so big that I am the one who actually figured this all out, even back in Daniel. Daniel was written 535 years before Jesus even was born. So it's really important. Pay attention. Now, that may sound kind of silly to your ears, but it's not. This, the Lord's speaking to us. He speaks that way. He's saying, let me show you what I'm really doing and that they cannot see. But you can see if you will take me seriously in this area. And you'll see a way to navigate through something that's very treacherous feeling. It's very treacherous sounding, but it's really okay because I'm going to use it to strengthen you so you can be growing as a repairer of the breach yourself. See that? And that's the love. It's tangible, tangible. It's not just, oh, I'm just so in love with Jesus. He's my all in all only. That doesn't even come without the foundational decision to say, you are my king. I need to know you. I need to know your word. I need to be in your presence. I need you to activate my heart. Sure, if there's any darkness, get it out. Please, please, please. Let's run with that. But let me be filled up with your peace and your presence as your word changes me at that moment. Okay, here we go. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah, the prince there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and it will be built again with plaza and moat, even in the times of distress. Is that 26 as well? Okay. Then, after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing, and the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war. Desolations are determined. Okay, we've gone through some of this before, and there'll be more that's coming because Daniel is going to be highlighted more and more and more in this season to a lot of people where the Lord's speaking about, you know what, we really need to see you, Jesus, through Scripture, through my eyes. We need to understand the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand the book of Revelation. We need to understand that he has revealed himself from the beginning in Genesis all the way through Revelation. And he not only prophesied for all to understand and know his death or his entrance into this world, but also his death, his resurrection, and his coming again. Now, I'm just throwing it out there because I have so much to cover in John chapter 12. But that's coming. And these kinds of things are going to be unpacking and opened up more and more as we have this aha in our heart. And Lord saying, let's agree that we want to go lower, we want to go deeper in a good way. I heard somebody say on Facebook recently that, you know, if you get the wrong impression of what going lower means, it can be really damaging. if we are not living the full life of who we are created and called to be, and we're free and our soul is on fire, our mind, our will, our emotions, led by our spirit, if we don't understand, then we could have a skewed view of what it even means to go lower or to walk a holy life. And the enemy's job is to do that, to make it sound like that's bad. Whereas you've got Mary just opening up and laying herself down. Why? Because she knew the Savior, and she was forgiven of much. She received this love. She received this cleansing, and she was giving it back. It's a natural outpouring. That's why there's been so many words and times in recent weeks and months about repentance. It's refreshing and cleansing. It's not like this. It's for freeing so that we can walk as repairers of the breach in a way that is so much more exciting and fulfilling. We're created for that. We're stepping into what we were created to do. And then we feel that fulfillment. We feel good. It's like, yes. And then if we have something that's going in your hearts, we don't intellectualize it. Okay? We get our answer because of how we feel. If we get our answer because of how we feel instead of the bigger picture, then we have walked further in a trap. And that never means putting our brains down. We've said this a million times. So just take these characters. Think about that when you all read John chapter 12 this week, hopefully more than what we've got here. So that's a passage of scripture I'm not going to say too much more about. Let's leave it at that. So let's keep moving here for time's sake, trying to be sensitive to that for you guys. Okay, so they took the palm branches. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it as it is written. And let's put up Zechariah 9:9, if you don't mind finding that. That'd be great. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. Well, was that prophesied? Yes. All of these scripture verses that you see, or part of the scripture verses that are in caps or emboldened, depending on your Bible, these are proof texts, if you will, that the Lord's saying, it's really me, it's really me, it's really me. And if you're talking to somebody on a plane and you say, look at this, they'll just say, well, I don't believe in the scriptures. If they want to believe in God, God makes a way for them to believe in him. Okay, there's something maybe pulling at why they don't want to. But this can be a tool to help you guys, just so that you're aware. There's over 330 prophecies of Jesus' life, birth, death, burial, resurrection in the Old Testament. Verse 16, now here we go. We're going to start unpacking who understands and who doesn't. But you have Zechariah 9:9 up. Okay, just so we can see it as the Old Testament. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. Okay, this would be 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble, and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a donkey. Okay, we see it there, which is really good, really amazing, really helpful. And I honestly believe that we could spend the rest of the time talking about why he rode on a colt or a donkey. I'm not going to do that today. We have preached that before. It's another message. But it is prophesied, and we know that that's a place of service, and we know that that's a place of humility, that our king did not ride into Jerusalem as on a stallion. He was making a point. He says, I am coming here to serve. And we've gone through all of that before in text. So please read that in scripture. Ask God about that, and maybe we'll unpack a little more on Tuesday. We'll see. But the Lord needed to ride in on a colt, and it's prophesied. And we know that he's calling us to be the servants of all. We had, if you have those humility books, that'd be great. If you know where they are, just put them up here. We bought a bunch of humility books, and it's kind of like, oh, kill me now. Nobody's trying to do that. No one's trying to hurt anybody. But we have found them to be very helpful. If you guys wanted to purchase one, you're more than welcome to, because it helps center us on the Jesus that Mary knew. It really does. It talks about humility, but not in this browbeating, wow, you better be humble, you better repent, get on your face and be a slum in the mud. It's not like that. Jesus was always saying, who has cast the first stone among you? He was without sin, right? Cast the first stone. Daughter, get up. Go and sin no more. And she was in the presence of the Lord. So gracious, so kind, right? but still so truthful. Go and sin no more. So in the presence of Jesus, in real Jesus, that would be the desire, that would be the hope. So this is something that we've offered. If you're interested, we had these years ago, and a little bit different cover, but they're books that really unpack Philippians 2 and some other scripture verses that really help us, thank you, go into that depths of Jesus, focusing on Jesus. If we can focus on Jesus, oh my gosh, we could become more like Mary and be celebrated doing what Jesus wants us to do. Okay, verse 16. These things his disciples did not understand at first, but when Jesus was glorified, he received glory after he died, during the persecution, after he was buried, after he was raised, but during all of that. It says in John 17, Jesus is being glorified, the Father's being glorified through all of this. So through the suffering, Jesus was glorified. But his disciples didn't understand. Then they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things to him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine remembering, going, oh my gosh, that's what he said. Oh my gosh, that was what the master meant. Oh my gosh, I see. Oh my gosh, it's time. Oh my gosh, that's what was meant. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. What is probably a little deeper than that, than oh my gosh. And they realized the King of Glory was right there, and I still didn't believe, I still didn't see, I still didn't get it. So our greatest enemy with fear is unbelief, not believing that he really is the solution, not just has a solution, but he is in every way. Jesus, you're the solution. If we even cried out to him going, Jesus, crash in, Jesus, break in. I've done that quite a lot in recent weeks. Jesus, you're the solution, crash in, break in. And then this comes of, yes, you believe. Don't let the enemy steal your belief. Don't let him do that, because that's his goal. That's his desire. That's what he wants. That's what he wants to do. All the people we've talked about, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, Judas so far, the people, the crowds, the Pharisees, that's where the target is. So they cannot and would not either be able to believe, continue to believe. It was always under assault. Oh, always under attack. See the bigger picture and then run to Jesus and then use these, let the scriptures just come alive in your heart so that you are empowered, because Jesus is going, go, my child, go, my child, go, my child. That is the truth. If I'm telling you, everyone goes through that. Everyone, every leader. And we're all leaders in the making, more and more, right? We're all, that's where the enemy's going, let me get in there. Let me bring division, heartache, pain, sorrow, accusation. And if he doesn't do it right the first time, the stupid enemy, he'll try again, and he'll try again, this time bigger, harder, greater, to make it look like something. But go back and get centered. Bigger picture. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, I like this. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb, were 17, were raised from the dead, continued to testify about him. Check it out, guys. Notice the order. People who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb. Those people, and they raised, and they saw him raised from the dead. Because Jesus, it says in that scripture in 17, he called Lazarus out. He said, come forth, and then raised him. Come forth. He was so sure of who he was, what he was going to do. He called, and he said, I'm standing on my Father. My Father says to do this, that's what I will do. Come forth. Be who you were created to be. You weren't created to be taken out like this, Lazarus. So I'm calling you forth in my prayer, and now I'm going to you and calling you forth. That's what I'm doing. I'm not just going, I think I'll raise him from the dead. No, Lazarus had a destiny, and part of it was for this. Because he needed to be seen and used. And what did it do? It stirred everybody up. One way or the other, going, yeah, let's have a party. Celebrate that he's alive. Let's kill him. Wow. Where do we fit? Where do we stand? What will we think this week? In every situation. I can't name your situations. I could tell you mine. You don't want to hear it all. There's a lot of them. But the Lord says, get centered on the bigger picture. Very extreme. So good. Don't believe Don't believe something that's not Jesus. It'll hurt you so much and others. Thank you, Jesus. So the people who were with him, verse 17, which I just read, they continued to testify, continue to testify. That's my beloved, that is my goal, my heart, continue to testify, continue to speak, continue to say, I remember, I remember, I remember. Continue to testify, Jesus, you're good, look who you are, look what you've done, and humility just comes. You just can't get humility, it just comes inside. For this reason, also the people went and met him because they had heard that he had performed this sign. Okay? People went and they met Jesus because they heard. They heard, they heard, they heard. Verse 19. So the Pharisees said to one another, you see that you are not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him. Come on, they're talking amongst each other. Pharisees have to talk. Pharisees have to gossip. Pharisees have to run their mouth. Pharisees, any of us who cannot see what Jesus is doing, they have to do it. You have to feed the dog. It's the only way for things to increase. It's the only negative things. It's the only way. It's showing us right here. When God gives us a scripture verse that says, don't let any unwholesome thing come out of your mouth, only that which is good to build up and edify, that you may know the will of God, Ephesians 4:29. If that is true, and we just go, okay, I will obey, I will obey, I will obey. This is not going to work because we don't have enough power to just go, okay, okay, I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't. No, there has to be this desire to see Jesus. When we see Jesus, the way that he's unpacking himself for us to see in this chapter, before he even is doing anything that we're celebrating this week, so to speak, okay? He's saying, see me this way. Let me get in your heart. Let me take you over. Let me resonate in there. Let me show you how big my love is for you. He loved the scribes and the Pharisees. He didn't want them to be going, da, 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 da. He didn't want that. So, you know, people can say, don't gossip. Okay, I won't gossip. Gossip. That doesn't work. Does that work? It does not work. But when you see, when you can see the king, then with the thing you run from so fast that you just can't, because you know it hurts him. It's like, that hurts Jesus. That hurts the one that was crucified for me. That hurts the one who's inside of me. I can't do that. I only want to testify of him and his goodness. That's what I want to do. And then we become changers of situations. World changers, nation changers, family changers, ministry changers, business changers. Because we become the solution with Jesus. We become like that. It might take a long time. It's not easy. But it works because Jesus says so. Thank you, Jesus. I love it. I love how he's making himself look and known. He's just doing it. Let's just look at 19 again. So the Pharisees, people who were far to see, said to one another, you see that you are not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him. Everybody's starting to follow Jesus. Okay, because they couldn't see, they didn't know, they didn't believe, they didn't understand, they were trapped. And the Lord's saying, help, 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 help. Verse 20, for there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. These then came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus, hey, they're talking. It's good. It's something positive. This is great. This is the connection. This is just the opposite of what we read. You see another extreme here? Can you see it? The testifying of Jesus, it's so clear. There's good and there's not good. There's heaven, there's not heaven. It's very clear. Go through the scripture, count how many times you can find this. I didn't do it. But you can. It's like, oh my gosh, that's what he's saying. Wait, that's who he is over here. Oh my gosh, he's exposing the human condition in me. I want to change that because I want to see his love. But he starts this whole journey out with Lazarus raised from the dead and Mary. And Martha's cleaning things. Loves Martha too. But that's where he starts. And that's where he ends. But he's unpacking everything in between. Verse 23, Jesus answered them saying, thank you. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Okay, you think he's just talking about, oh, Jesus, we glorify you, you're raised from the dead. Woo! He's talking about the suffering as well. The hour has come. I am going to be glorified for going through the process that I came to go through. Yes, Lord, if there's any other way, take it away from me. If there's any other, take this cup from me. Why? Because it was so bad? Because it was so gruesome? Because we're going to see Jesus mutilated? I'm sure he didn't like it, but that wasn't the reason. The reason was he knew he'd be separated from his Father. If we knew that we would be separated in relational connection when we are not following the way of God, if we really understood that, we would see the source of the torment and we would run into Jesus' arms because we knew he was the solution. If our soul was not at peace, our mind was always racing, our heart was going, our emotions are on fire, they're up and down and in and out. If that was going on inside of us, we've got to see why. Why is that torment there? So if anybody here ever says, let's get inside and pull dark stuff out, that's the reason. I mean, it's Jesus. He's saying, I don't want you to be tormented, my little ones, because I want to help you. I want to love you. I want you to see. I want you to believe. That's the truth. That's the reason. He's showing us that in this whole chapter. Isn't that cool? See how much he loves us? He's not saying, don't be like those Pharisees. No, he loved the Pharisees. They just couldn't see. And he was used, or they were used, to accomplish the purposes of God. I'm glad he's God and we're not, right? Thank you, Jesus. This is so good. Very rich. Okay. I like the extreme here. Jesus, first he shows, stop talking and creating unbelief with your mouth. And then he says, hey, in verse 21 and 22, listen, I like the fact that you guys are connecting and testifying of my goodness. That should be the kind of connecting that you have. You never want to be part of anything negative. Not a good idea. Get it out of you so fast, because it will be a poison. It'll be a cancer inside of you. It will be something that will pull you down. It will be something that hurts you. It will be something that you won't even realize that you've been used mightily by the enemy. Can you imagine the disciples who later on went, oh my gosh, he told me before. Oh my gosh, that's what he meant. We don't want to be in that spot. We want to recognize now, oh my gosh, I can see it. Jesus, get rid of this. I'm so sorry. I got to do something. I want to be on the other side where I'm testifying of your goodness. I'm testifying of your mercy. I'm on your side. Really? Very extreme, because that's what love is. Love is very extreme. And then, verse 24, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If you memorize verse 24 and 25, and you just put that in your heart as the first thing that you say every morning for the rest of your life, you would not believe how much the enemy would run from you and hate you, and God would give you such incredible wisdom. Do you have to do that? No. I'm just telling you that these are keys, because Jesus has been setting it up this way. Jesus is showing us from the very beginning of John chapter 12. This is what it's culminating in. I'm going to tell you guys, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to raise. But let me show you what it means for you. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what's going to happen to you. So when he says, let's look at it again. Truly, truly, Jesus, truly, truly. Say to your spouse tonight, if you're married, truly, truly, by the word of the Lord, by the scripture here, here's who I believe Jesus is. Here's who I am. Oh my gosh. You'll go to the moon in connection, because if there's negative agreement, There's so much power in agreement, so much. If there's scriptural, Jesus, powerful agreement, oh my gosh, you can take nations so easily. Well, it's simple, it's not easy. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, the wheat cannot sprout and grow unless it's split open. It has to go into the earth and it has to die. Jesus had to die and go into the earth and split open. The earthquake was there, and then he had to be raised from the dead. It had to happen. But think of us. It remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So if we say we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow, right? And we say that, if we don't want more of Jesus, we can have that whole text misunderstood and misrepresented. We cannot really love ourselves until we love him first. We will have self-hatred. If we want to get past insecurity, past fear of man, go to Jesus first. Not just go take care of your own physical needs. It's thinking less of yourself. It's not saying you don't have needs. I have needs. But I don't want to think of myself first. I want to think of Jesus first. It's the upside down kingdom. That's the desire anyway. Okay? So that's what he's saying right here. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And then, so strong here, he who loves his own mind, will, emotions, and body. Mind, will, emotions, and body. Mind, that means my thinking, my way, my feelings, my emotions, what I want to do, what works for me, what seems to be most comfortable, what I like first. Okay? That's what he's talking about. He who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world. Is that extreme sounding? Love and hate? He's talking about the extreme love. He's saying, if you lay down your life, like I'm telling you, I'm going to do for you, kiddos, he's saying, this is what will happen, the fruit will come. He says, I'm asking you to do that. It doesn't mean that you don't have priorities, that you don't have things that you want to do. And can't I do this? Isn't this something that would be good for me? I've always wanted this. That's not the point. The point is, the point is the priority. The point is the priority and where it fits in the priority. If we're thinking, others before me, we can't do that without extreme love of God, extreme passion for Jesus. We can't. It's always going to be, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to run my life. These are my choices. This is how it is. And if anyone questions that, then they must be controlling people. Beware. Beware of that. Beware of that. That's not what he's saying. These are deep, deep spiritual things. He who loses his life, loves his life, loses it. And he who hates his life in this world, in other words, counts his life as to be spent, as poured out as a drink offering, spent as 11 months of wages of costly perfume and nard, spent wiping, humbling, and wiping the feet of Jesus in tears, spent, completely wasted. But if you live that way, you will have eternal rewards built up. That's what it's saying. Eternal, forever, 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 forever. Every choice matters. So verse 26 says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me and where I am. There my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. 24, 25, 26, these are life-changing verses. And I would say, I am adding 26, that these are the words that Jesus wants us to know before he goes to the cross. These are the words before he goes, even decided that he should go to the cross. Okay? The people who crucified him were the people who were waving palm branches. It's like, oh my gosh, they didn't see. They didn't believe. Not the only ones. Okay, now notice the progression. Here he goes. Verse 27, now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. But Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came out of heaven, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. They heard this? Can you imagine? A voice came out of heaven, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The voice out of heaven, who is that? That's our Father. He's saying, if you're suffering, I'm in it. If you're suffering for me, I'm in it. So the crowd of people stood by and heard it saying, and it thundered again. An angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sake. This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sake. This voice is not for me to make it through the crucifixion and the resurrection. It's a really good verse to talk to people who don't understand if they want understanding. This voice has not come for my sake. It still wasn't about Jesus. Oh, Lord, take this cup from me. This is so terrible. This is for your sake, so that you could see why I'm doing what I'm doing, so you could get this love. Verse 31, now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. In verse 33, he's talking about the kind of death in which he was to die. 34, we've heard of the law that the Christ is to remain forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? 35, Jesus said, for a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so the darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. He's so concerned right now, so concerned that they'll get this before he even is rendered to be crucified. Please, I want you to see. I don't want you to see later. I want you to see now, because it will affect your belief. It'll affect your love. It will affect everything, because the enemy moves in unbelief. He moves in darkness. He moves that way. That's how he moves. That's the only legal right that he has. And if we have unbelief on the inside of us, he can bring more unbelief and say, connect there together. There's a legal open door. I believe in this season, I'll just say it, that the Lord is going to give us his understanding in deeper ways of the kingdom of heaven strategies and the kingdom of darkness strategies. And when they come together, it's a fearful thing, but that's what extreme living does, so we can really see and really get free and really help others. It comes right down to that. That's why we're here. That's how we make disciples of nations. We fall in love with Jesus, but we've got to see who he is in a deeper way. We've got to see how Jesus depended on the Father. Wow. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and he hid from them. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah, the prophet, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? Anybody know where that is? Who knows that? It's a familiar verse. What's that? Isaiah 53. It's the first verse. Look it up if you want to. For this reason, they could not believe. And by the way, that's talking all about healing and restoration and deliverance and Jesus going to the cross, right? By your stripes we were healed. So look it up. It's good. For this reason, they could not believe. For Isaiah said again, he who has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart so that they would not see with their eye and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them. Let me say that again. Now notice the extreme here. Can you see it? Again, opposites. Look at the opposites. Verse 38. Okay, Jesus is talking about just setting it up, and he's saying, now I'm going to tell you guys, here are my words. Now here are the extremes. Can you see it? This is where belief comes in, and this is where unbelief comes in. Let me show you. But both, I'm trying to save you from unbelief. Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isaiah 53:1. Again, Jesus is going back to bring the people there forward. And then, verse 39, for this reason they could not believe. So Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted and heal them. These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and spoke of him. That's actually in Romans 10, 16, if you want to look it up. In Romans 10, 16, the Lord is talking very specifically about the Jews, but he's also talking to us. He's saying, don't let your heart get hardened. Don't let that happen, because that's what the enemy wants. And there will be a consequence, and you'll be used for darkness instead of light, and it will so hurt you, and you'll be so tormented. I don't want you to be tormented, my beloved. I want you to live for me, be free, live the abundant life. Very extreme again. Look at the two passages, Isaiah and Romans is in the New Testament. Interesting. Romans 10, 16. But it's also in the Old Testament too. I have to look up and find that verse, where it is. Nevertheless, even many of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. Notice the fear. Okay, the fear is coming up with unbelief. Many of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for fear that they would be put out of the family, for fear that they wouldn't have a good place in the company, for fear that they wouldn't be looked at in the right way in a church, for fear that they wouldn't be approved of or appreciated or pleased or wouldn't be pleasing somebody else. It's all fear. It's all fear. If someone is a people pleaser, really a people pleaser, that's rooted in fear. But a God pleaser and lover, wouldn't the enemy want to steal that away? To try to convince somebody that they've just tried to please people their whole life and they didn't believe? Wouldn't the enemy want to convince somebody through influential people that they just were forced or controlled? Wouldn't that be the goal of the enemy? Think about that. Think about that for yourself. Anytime that there could be a defensiveness that rises up, and we all do that, we all have it, could it be that there's some fear there? Or is it really Jesus trying to say, I want to free you of that so you can be more effective? Think about that. How can I get closer? How can I be more effective? I mean, this is deep stuff, honestly. This chapter is deep, and I'm not doing it justice with this short amount of time. But let me wrap it up and just read. I'm just going to read these verses out loud for anybody who listens to it online. These are all in red. Let me read it, and then we're going to close for sure. And Jesus cried out, and he said, I'm sorry, I didn't start with 43. This is where I started the whole message, didn't I? In verse 43. Okay, same verse. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. I cared more about saving myself or my family or my marriage or my this or my that or my company position or you name it than pleasing God. It's fear. It's unbelief. But that's what Jesus' conclusion was right there. That's the verse I started with in the whole chapter 43 verses ago. Okay? For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Some versions say they loved the honor of men rather than honoring God. Oh. Verse 44, and Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me does not believe in me, but in the one who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. He's talking about the Father. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Again, extremes here, light in darkness. Believe in me. Believe in the one who sent me. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, he hears but does not keep them. In other words, hears and does not obey. I don't judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. But listen to what else he says. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him on the last day. There's your call for missions right there. Right there. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. Let me say it again. For I did not speak on my own initiative. Wow, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. What to say, what to speak. Everything that he has said in this chapter, what to say, what to speak. And the last verse here is, I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. Finally, again, I know that his commandment, which is love, is eternal life. So love and eternal life go hand in hand. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to put on a couple music videos. I'm going to pray here. The first one is Walk in the Promise, and the second one is See His Love. I'm inviting you to let the Lord just take over in areas where he wants to reveal himself to you. And just take these verses. Open your Bibles. You can keep, well, I guess you can't. You'll have to get a Bible on your phone or something if you don't have one. Think about this. Let this so resonate that there will be no, you will draw a line in the sand again and again. Because the Lord's already done it through the unpacking of these scripture verses. So Walk in the Promise by Jeremy Riddle and See His Love are so, so, so powerful. And I believe that the Lord wants us to just bask in his presence, but think about the end result. It is not just, I want to be happy. This is, Lord, I want to be changed and I want to be found faithful in your presence and filled with your love. And that will enable us to get through anything that feels like I can't take anymore. Been there a lot. But Jesus says, I'm extreme, and my love for you is extreme. Apply this to your life today completely. So if we could just turn the lights out. We've got few minutes. At some point, we'll bring the kiddos in, but we're going to ask them to, I'll check on them and wrap it up so they come in and they're not going to be distracting, hopefully. But I really want you to just have this time as we launch this Passion Week for Jesus to really receive the most from our extreme God who covers us. His blood covers us, you guys. Isn't that so great? Fall in love with Father through Jesus, and watch what he does. We want to see healings in families. We want to see people's diseases gone, families restored, nations taken. We want to be in those deep waters, but we don't want everyone getting eaten by sharks. We want people to be so empowered, filled with grace, to really, really believe that his grace is sufficient. Let's go ahead and put it on tea, okay? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for unpacking your heart to us again, for us. Thank you for this powerful word, Lord, this revelation. Thank you, Lord, that we go deeper in you, God. Help us. Help us. Help us, Jesus. We need you.